Welcome to Between Two Worlds. I'm your host, Luke Friesen. And with us, we actually have...
Gitch, I'm right here. Okay, thank you,
no,
Luke.
No, you were not... I was not talking about you. I was talking about actual people that matter.
Real guests.
Real guests. And we have...
Right?
I'm going to keep track of how many burns I hear during this podcast. Go.
Okay, that voice is the Colonel from Camp Luther. Do you want to say your real name?
Or
do you
want to disclose? No, the Colonel's perfect.
The Colonel.
Unless this turns out to be a really interesting podcast, then I'll disclose my name at the end of it.
And your email address.
Harry Edwards. Just kidding, Harry. If you listen to this, which I don't think you will be.
Oh, and across from him, we have Atlas.
Yes, Atlas. That's it.
Also,
first and last name.
Atlas.
Atlas. And we are on episode 22, and we are going to go through our camp.
You never introduced me.
You already introduced yourself. Why do I need it?
You interjected.
Well, it wasn't like a formal introduction.
Do you want me to formally introduce
please,
you?
Please, please.
Okay. So this is episode 22 of Camp 2.0. We did Camp 1 a couple months ago, I think. Gitch, do you know when? In September, October, November?
No, it was a while back. I don't know
when. A while back, we did a Camp 1, and we talked about camp and the importance of camp and how awesome camp experiences can be and how they need to be attached to a church at the end of them. And we figured, hey, we know some people that are in the camp world. We know some people who have something to say about something. And so
maybe.
We invited...
Hold on. Did you just say something about something?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've lost to say about stuff.
That's true.
I have lost to say
that
about
is,
something.
That is true.
Yeah. So... before we get into our segments, why don't you guys introduce yourselves, who you are, just about like what you did, what do you do at camp, how long you've served at camp, how much you love camp.
Nice.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll go first. The name's Atlas. I've been serving at Camp Luther for 3 years, going on to my fourth this year. And that's all you want to know, right?
What's your role there?
Yeah, what have you done?
I've done a variety of different roles, from activities coordinator to head guy counselor. This year, switching up a little bit, we decided to do a new role. It's called the fun coordinator.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Still would have that?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah, actually, they do.
I think every camp has a fun coordinator. They're just not called the fun coordinator.
Right. But what we did was we took all of the senior staff's pictures and we put them on a wall, and then we just started eliminating people who weren't the fun ones, and then this came down to
that is
to
not
me.
The process at all.
That's how you pick positions. Not that guy.
Yeah, my name's the Colonel. I'm the executive director at Camp Luther. I've been there for this will be my 13th summer actually at camp. I've been the program manager for the first few years there, then I moved on to camp director, and now for the last 4 years I've been the executive director. I should also mention, too, I serve on the Fellowship of Christian Camps in BC. If you haven't heard of it, you should check out their website.
Is it fun?
Well, they don't have a fun coordinator on there, but if they did, I'm sure that would be my title.
You wouldn't be the first one eliminated.
On the board of directors there, I actually serve as the website and social media guy.
Wow.
But I don't really know about either, but
nice.
No one else on that board does either.
So. Can you give me a definition of social media? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's media that's social.
Mm. Oh,
good.
You've used both
this
words
easy.
To define the word. Good job.
Yes. Fellowship of Christian Camps, though. Check it out.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Nice. Maybe I will. So those
but
are
actually, sorry, oh, can I'm interrupting for a second. Are we allowed to do that? Interrupt you?
100% you can interrupt. Anytime.
If you had to guess how many Christian camps do you think there are in BC, how many would you guess?
5.
I'm going to guess 17.
No, Atlas, guess.
27.
There are 42 on register with the Fellowship of Christian Camps.
Whoa,
42 Christian camps. There's actually more than that. But they, for whatever reason, are choosing not to.
Is that more than most provinces?
That's a good question. British Columbia actually has two associations. They have the Fellowship of Christian Camps and the British Columbia Camping Association, BC Camps. And in British Columbia, the province, we have a unique relationship between both of those associations. They actually hang out, have conferences together, share resources. In most other provinces, they're two completely separate things.
That's
awesome.
I
thought I'd throw that out there.
I like that's helpful.
Thanks for sharing.
Good facts.
The more you know.
Alberta through the other side of the country. Whatever it ends. How does it end in Prince Edward Island?
I think Ottawa.
Newfoundland. What?
Does it go Ottawa. Past Ottawa?
There's nothing good past Ottawa?
I said, does it end past Ottawa? Does anything there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Ottawa.
Oh, Quebec, and then...
But there's the Christian camps, Canada. Okay? They're across the entire country, but just BC is separate with the Fellowship of Christian Camps.
Mm. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for explaining.
I didn't mean to explain all that now, but...
That was good, though.
You said we have to...
We've lots of time. We've lots of time. Yeah. So just because we have guests here doesn't mean we're not going to do our weekly Here's the Thing intro. So Gitch is up with Here's the Thing.
Nice.
Gitch.
Okay, guys. Here's the thing. Well, you know what I don't understand? The new fad in and fashion with clothes that you can purchase that have holes in them. And by that... I don't just mean jeans with holes in the knee, but I have a friend who showed up, we were hanging out, and he had a sweater
with holes in it.
With not one, not two, not three, but I didn't count, but like literally a hole every 3 inches.
Did it look like he got shot with like a shotgun?
It looked like he went through, I don't know what, like a
cheese grater?
Yeah, a tree chipper or something.
That's easy.
I just don't understand this, and I'll tell you the worst part.
You don't understand fashion or just why people are dressing with this latest fashion?
Fashion as a whole.
Well, I guess both, but particularly the whole thing in pants.
Whole thing in pants.
Yeah, W-H-O-L-E-H-O-L-E. You get it? Yeah. The whole thing. Mm. Is because
Clever.
The worst part about it, which pains me the most, is that, see, my wife bought pants recently. They were, I'm told, a good deal, which I think you pay any amount
how
for
much,
pants
how much
with
a good deal.
She paid $6. And I'm like, listen, you couldn't pay me
$6.
That's
a good deal.
It's not. You couldn't pay me $6 to take pants with holes in them out of your store.
I got $6. I bet you I could.
I don't think so. Here's the thing with that, though, is
$6 for a pair of pants and you're complaining.
Far
who cares
too
if
much.
They have holes in them?
Here's the thing. You're complaining about a price for pants that was actually pretty reasonable.
With holes, two holes, big holes in the knee.
Still, $6. Mm.
So if they're $10 and had no holes, you'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Or $40.
$40.
$40.
Right, $100?
How high $6. Can we go here? Was it like Value Village?
No, 50? Because here's the thing. I have had some nice jeans from The Gap that I got like probably 2 years ago that I have now just recently worn a hole in the knee myself just from... regular use that I could have given her.
How much did you pay for those?
I don't know.
Probably
30,
more than
30 bucks.
30?
But they don't have, they didn't. They
now
do
they're
now.
Only worth six.
Right? But I would actually like to sell them back now to The Gap for $6. This actually
you
brings
could sell
me,
them to your wife for $6.
I probably would, true. But then it's just my saying. $6 that I'd pay myself. So I think I'll probably just turn them into rags or throw them out, but.
So what's your here's the thing exactly?
My here's the thing is I don't understand.
Is that how this segment
ends with clothes? I mean, sometimes they're more impressive, sometimes they're not.
I just don't get it. It makes no sense. People, if you're looking to be up on fashion and you really want to have pants with holes in them or a sweater with several, and I do mean several holes in them, you come talk to me. I'll hook you up. No charge. I promise.
What size waist do you have?
I don't know.
I don't think your pants will fit me.
34?
Your pants will not fit me.
One for each leg, maybe, like a pair of pants. Double up, you know what I'm just saying? Then two together will definitely fit.
That's, I see what you're saying. Because I wear size 60, 64
no,
pants.
I'm not saying that.
Waist pants, because that's double 30.
64.
Yeah.
Is I'm that just what saying, I said? Put yeah, one pair around each leg. You took that to the next level.
No, I think you did, Gitch.
I didn't.
Any viewers that or listeners that are offended, I apologize. If you have any concerns, you can please email us at agulevich@northview.org.
Is that actually your email address?
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
GULEVICH.
Nice. And so now's the time when we usually do a recap of what happened at youth, and then we get into our discussion. So I'm going to start. We did ours on James 3. And we talked about how we are to control our tongues, how we are to watch what we say, and especially with gossip and slander and how we treat other people. And that was it. That was the last youth night of the regular youth night of the year. And then we have our slip and slide kickball or dodgeball or soccer, whatever we're going to play on Thursday.
It's amazing how fast the year goes by.
Yeah.
We had our last campus night for high school youth on Thursday evening. We did a bunch of games outside. We exploded watermelons with elastic bands. Mm. That was a lot of fun. We combined capture the flag with elastics with watermelons and ended up seeing them cut in half and blown into bits. That's what we did for our game. But content-wise, we went downstairs. It was our wrap-up night, so what I really was trying to get across was the idea that God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, and not just, you know, through banners on airplanes in the sky and doesn't communicate with us, you know, through always just burning in our bosoms, but rather he speaks to us in all kinds of other different ways.
Did you use that word, burning bosom?
I did.
Huh.
And everyone laughed. So John 10:27, God says, or Jesus says, my sheep... know my voice. Know me. They hear my voice and they follow me. So that's what we were getting at. It's talking about how God speaks, and whether or not we're listening is a different discussion. So I was encouraging them as summer goes on to make sure they're creating that space, that ability to be able to hear God's voice, whether that's through circumstances, whether that's through reading or praying, or that's through fellowship with other people, all the kinds of different ways that God speaks in more normal ways than you might expect, rather than, you know, this kind of like writing in the sky, or you make a deal with God that if he does this for you, then you'll know he's speaking to you. God tends to speak to us, at least to me, in a lot more normal ways than what some people think.
Yeah. He usually speaks to me through the Bible.
Nice.
That's very valid.
Mm.
That's biblical.
Thank you. And so now we get into the more fun part. Colonel, Atlas,
yes.
Gitch.
Yellow.
Hey.
Why is camp important? So for parents, because this is our main listeners, our parents, so why is camp a good thing for high school kids to be involved in? Why is this something that parents should push onto their kids?
Or should they?
I mean, yeah.
Well, explore the... I think we should explore the spiritual part of it in just a second, but actually, just logistically speaking, you know, I said there's like 40-plus camps in BC. Mm-hmm. These Christian camps, most of these camps can't do what they do without high school volunteers coming and being part of their camp. So just logistically speaking, camps all throughout the Lower Mainland, you know, you name it, they probably have a place, and some have upmost to, you know, like 70, 80...
Like how many high schools do you have in the summer that come
so
through?
Like for Camp Luther, for example, we have about 90 high school volunteers. They'll be hanging out at our camp specifically this summer in different roles doing things. But
and you need how many a week?
We need our camp alone needs 24 a week to make it happen.
Plus paid staff.
Plus paid staff.
Wow. These are just high schoolers. We're
high school volunteers. That's 24. Amazing.
That's right. So a lot of these camps just logistically need people to come and volunteer, and that could be work crew or cleanup crew or program crew. At Luther, we do a junior staff program. Ours is called, and we use them in cabins to be kind of co-leaders, as well as they do help out in the kitchen and things like that. But majority of their time is spent leading cabins. Oh, nice. So logistically, I think camps just need high school kids to get involved and do something. Spiritually, though, I mean, a camp was a huge part of my life growing up, and as a high school kid. Twiddling my thumbs in the summer was probably an option I could have done, but my mom and dad encouraged me to go hang out at camp. And it was really a time for me to solidify my faith and actually put into practice some of the things I'd been learning out throughout the year, and being in an environment where I had an opportunity to serve and learn and grow and be challenged and pushed. And
That's good. Logistically, one reason why high school kids are so vital is to have, like, for a kid who's coming to camp, to have a high school student like actually be interested in that kid, that does worlds to what to a kid's life. Like when a high school kid comes in and they care for that kid actually feels like, whoa, like this guy's so much cooler than I am. Like this guy's so much older than I am. Like wow. Like, and they actually care for me. Like that does worlds to a kid. Like it really does something inside that they feel a deeper sense of value because of a high schooler, just like this older person, just a couple years older, actually caring for a kid. Like that does something to a kid. It changes their life.
So you guys have seen probably more than one side of this, but we've talked a little bit about how teenagers, like on a volunteer basis, are, you know, critical for camp's actual functioning. But how have you seen it go the other way, where serving at camp is actually beneficial for that teenager? What have you seen happen that way?
I think one of the biggest thing was before I was in camp ministry, I was a youth worker. And I remember always hearing, you know, kids in the fall coming back and, you know, hearing about how their summer went. And they'd come back and say, oh, I went to this camp and I just got to hear the speaker. I served at this camp and it totally just brought my, you know, got me on fire for God. And I'd be like, I work with you 360 days a week and you were 5 days not around and that changed your life. I'm like, how about all the work? You know, but I think camp does have the power. One of the things that what camp does is, the power of camp is through us actually being giving us 5 days full time, 24/7, actually being able to live out our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and for high school kids, it's really easy to kind of be surfacey and be one way, you know, at school or one way at youth group or one certain group of friends. But when you roll into a camp and you have to live there and you have to live and breathe and eat and sleep. And, you know, by about day three, when you've had, you know, no sleep and no not proper food and you're exhausted, we're going to actually see what you're really made of. And for high school kids to for their faith to actually, you know, they have to live it out. And they're going to for sure see others around them living that out. And so I really think it brings their faith to life in ways that they never get to experience otherwise. It's kind of like a missions trip, too. Right. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, camp's a really practical place for teenagers to just serve God. Like, it's a place where they can actually, like, show the love of God to other people, to kids. And so I've seen teenagers become transformed just by showing the same love that God has loved them with to other kids. When you're displaying that, like, there's something that's going on inside that is going to inevitably change a teenager's life.
And another thing too is I think, you know, teenagers, we all have gifts and abilities that God has given us, but a lot of kids maybe in high school or youth group or whatever, they're kind of more participants and just floating along, whereas when you're given an opportunity to serve in a camp or be involved in a camp, right, you're now using the gifts and abilities that God's given you. And suddenly you realize, oh, I can play guitar, but it's just not so I can rock out in my room by myself or in this, you know. It's like, no, I can actually be in front of a campfire and lead some people, some kids in corporate worship. And that feels interesting. And maybe I could do that back in my church. Or, you know, what it means to, like, you know, I want to clean, you know, I'm kind of more behind the scenes kind of a person. But it's like, you can, the stuff you're doing behind the scenes is actually benefiting this camp this week. And that's building God's kingdom. And so it's like, oh, I can use my gifts and abilities at this camp to actually do kingdom work too. So this is cool, you know?
So what you're saying is that at camp, there is space for an amount of any kind of person with any set of gifts, that it's not just meant for those people that are loud and outgoing, those people that you think, when you think camp people, you think of people that are more out there and loud. What you're saying is that at camp, there's like just so many different things you can do, and it's for any kid.
That's right. In fact, we have a lot of, you know, some of the high school kids that are hanging out at our camp, you know, or have hung out at our camp. I think they're kind of the quiet, behind the scenes, you know, not really an upfront, you know, noisy kind of crazy kid. But what's really cool is, you know, they'll be placed in a cabin with a little quiet kid who maybe isn't an out and crazy and doesn't need some leader that is crazy and outgoing and wild. And so God kind of puts, you know, it works out that they get put in this cabin with this other little kid, you know, kid who's kind of quiet and shy. And then that leader who's quiet and shy has a way of kind of connecting with those kids and impacting them that way.
I think maybe in a lot of ways, camp is probably similar. You can feel free to chime in on this, but camp is probably similar to youth ministry in within a church context or even like a parachurch organization where it's heavily relational. You know, that component is very, very strong. So I remember going, I've been to a few different camps, and I don't remember every Bible lesson or every campfire song we sung or every meal we ate, but I do remember my camp leaders. And so at that particular camp, they were counselors, you know, so they were the ones who you talk to before you go to bed. They're the ones who wake you up in the morning. They're the ones who make sure you're all there. They herd you together like cattle for mealtime and all this stuff. But those relationships form and they grow. So I grew close with my counselor, but also grew close. And I still remember a lot of them, the people I shared a cabin with. So you probably see that relational piece as maybe a more long lasting component than probably just the Monday to Friday or Sunday to Friday, whatever your programs might look like, this relational piece. And I would say a guy like you, Colonel, you're probably in a lot of ways, a local celebrity. And I don't mean that like to pump up your tires, but I mean, a lot of, you might not know every camper, but every camper who's come, mm-hmm. probably you're a pretty unforgettable guy, but people probably remember you. You probably get stopped on the street.
I've never heard you say to anybody.
You're unforgettable too, Luke. You should feel good about that.
Or caveman, as we like to call him. Captain Caveman.
Right. Caveman.
True.
So how have you seen that relational piece play into it after camp? Camp ends. September comes. How does that relational piece with either campers or some of the teenagers
I can go for this one.
Okay. Yeah.
I see it a lot because, I don't know, for me, there's almost nothing that beats me seeing a camper I've seen in the summer that's been in my cabin and who I love. And then I see them outside and they're thriving and they are involved in the local church, like going to youth group, and just like you can see that they are just loving God. And then I get to see them and I connect with them, and then I go out for lunch with them, and then I see how well they're doing. For me, it provides just so much, assurance that camp is such a good thing. Mm. And that relationship after is actually huge, because then I can see my campers and actually encourage them outside. Because at first it's like, what are you doing here? Like, you're supposed to be at camp. And then they realize like, no, I'm going to have a life outside of camp. And just being able to encourage them and to help them grow in that way too is, I think it's incredibly important, and it's awesome to continue that relation after and to be able to pour into that way as well.
That's good.
Yeah. So, with that, I have another question is what is one thing, or if you have a story of a teenager or even you yourselves being incredibly impacted by camp, do you have a tangible story that you're like, hey, this was an incredible moment at camp?
Hmm. Yeah, I got something. I think this was 2 years ago. I was doing a Bible study with my cabin, and then I had the cabin. We were all sitting down on the floor, and I was sitting down there with them, and we're just going through this Bible study. And I was trying to explain, I forget what I was trying to explain, but I was trying to explain something about the gospel to these kids. And it just wasn't quite, clicking for them in that moment. And they were really struggling to grasp the concept that I was trying to explain to them. And in that moment, one of the guys beside me, who actually turned out to be one of our high school leaders, this is going to be his first year. He was like, hey, can I have a try at this? Can I try and explain the gospel to these kids? And I was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I knew that he was a really solid kid, and he started to explain this concept, and he was just using incredibly simple language, but it was really effective to these kids. And in that moment, I was just able to I was able to see like the Holy Spirit was just so clearly using this kid and using his words to get these other kids to really understand the concept that he was explaining to them. And God was just so clearly working in that moment because these kids were like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, this does make sense. Okay, no, I do get this. And it was just such a solid moment of just God was so clearly evident working through this kid's words, and it was incredible.
One of the cool things you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say something that pops to mind for experiencing camp and how it's impacted myself, but thinking more of like how it's impacted some of those I've seen serve alongside me in camp. You know, Luke, for you example, it doesn't seem that long ago where I remember just seeing you roll onto Camp Luther as a high school kid, kind of wrestling with what his faith should be like and where he should go with it. But I'm sure that probably some of your experiences, you know, and things that you've experienced and been part of at camp has shaped now you and how you do ministry
100%.
Now. Yeah. And one of the cool things that what I'm learning is the longer I've been in camp for is I'm seeing more and more, you know, Atlas and people that we've, you know, we kind of stepped out and we hired these people or they let them be a part of this place, and how God's given them, you know, through this opportunity at camp, and how God is, you know, give the, from that opportunity, are now using that, those lessons they've learned and things that, you know, to impact their schools that they're now teachers at, or their youth pastor, or they're in a church, or, you know, and it was because of these experiences at camp that that grew, you know, tested their faith, grew them as a person in relationship with Jesus. And now look at where they are at because of, you know, the experience going all the way 100%. Back to those camp days. So I had many of those as a young person going to camp, hanging out at camp. And I wasn't super into church as a high school kid growing up, but because of my camp experience, it was just those moments of putting the flag, you know, setting, this is going to be, I like this. I'm going to hold on to this.
Yeah, for me, I know camp is what God used to help guide me into my passion. It made me realize how much I loved, like, I'd always loved working with kids, but my favorite parts was the one-on-one with the juniors, was senior teen, and having those conversations and seeing it just click in their minds, being like, okay, I get this. And for me, that's what led me to want to do what I'm doing today, because of camp and because of you, the colonel, and just being there and like all the talks we'd have and just the encouraging stuff that would happen there. And I just can't thank camp enough.
See, I told you, you're a memorable guy. Memorable guy. One of the cool things, I that one of the things we share, right, us guys working in a church context, you guys working in a camp context, is you kind of get those people. You said yourself, Colonel, that you get campers who come who might not necessarily attend a church or who might not feel comfortable going into a church. They might not kind of fit in. So you see a wide gap. You see higher income folks come. You see lower income folks come. You see folks who might not have had a meal that morning before they showed up, right? You see kind of a whole spectrum. Talk a little bit about that, how you kind of mingle those kind of groups all sort of together, getting people from every kind of walk of life background. How do you sort of approach that?
Well, I think bringing it back to the high school kid piece, rolling into camp, I think one of the things that camp does is that all camps is, you know, you kind of get a clean slate when you roll in. So no one knows whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're a punk at school, whether you're, you know, whatever your high school. And so many, I think, high school kids wrestle with, you know, identity, obviously. Yeah. And then they've got history at a school, or they've got this personality. But when you come to camp, it's like clean slate. And all of a sudden you get this opportunity to kind of like start from scratch on who you are. And so part of the appeal or the value, the power of camp is kids. A high school kid who's just got this rap of being a slacker, a punk attitude, he suddenly comes there. And you know what? He gets no one knows his past or what he's kind of about. But he comes in and it's like, oh, he gets a clean slate. Now I can serve, and no one's going to give me a hard time or have preconceived ideas about I'm going to be a slacker. Or no, it's a clean slate. And so that's a huge piece, I think, of the power of camp.
Yeah, it's that one thing you say it. I think the beginning of every. I mean, I don't know what happens now, but when I was a counselor, at the beginning of every camp. Senior teen, junior teen, regular camp, you'd say something along the lines of, what would you say? Like something about you get rid of yourself, or it's something that had to do with you saying.
It's your guarantee, I think, is what you're talking about.
Your guarantee. If you act like you're too cool, if you act like you're too big for this, that kind of thing, if you just be who you are, help me out here. I'm struggling.
I think in the end, I do this thing called the Colonel's Guarantee, where in the opening chapel, we kind of say, hey, listen, if you think you're too cool for camp and all this kind of stuff, I guarantee you this, you're going to have a horrible time. But if you come here and you're really just like actually be authentic and have fun and be goofy and put on costumes and dances, you know, be goofy and be in this skit. And then I talk into the staff too, but also our campers. And we're like, be yourself. It's okay to be yourself here this week. And I think after the first couple of days of camp, especially with staff, it's like they realize that the power of their impact is going to come through their authenticity. And that's a huge piece of how we roll, for sure. And I think most camps too, because you cannot do 8 weeks of summer camp and we're going to find out what you're really made of, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think one of the really cool things too, and maybe we can close with this, but I one of the things I love about how you guys approach camp and how you approach different things. I mean, in ministry, sometimes things can go awesome and you feel like that event went great or that event went really poorly. And I know sometimes we're our own worst critics, but one of the things I love talking with Colonel about the way he kind of evaluates things, the way he views how a particular week or how a particular day is going. You kind of have a three sets of questions you ask yourselves on everything. Talk a bit about that.
All right. So those three things are Is it safe? Is it fun? Is it showing God's love? And those are kind of the three things that we just like, we at the end of the day, if it's been safe, mm-hmm. if it's been fun, and these kids have seen God's love in a real way, then you know what, like that is success in our books. Right. That's it, plain and simple.
Do you have to hit 3 out of 3? Can you like 2 out of 3, like get rid of the safe part?
No. Like Tommy breaks his leg, but has but a really fun
awesome time. And he
won't
God.
That's the thing. He won't have fun if he broke his leg. He wasn't having fun.
He'll be in pain.
I know this one guy. He stabbed his hand with a pumpkin carver. Still had fun.
Ooh. Right? And God loved him. And through God that. Loved and him. He knew and God's love.
Was that you, Gitch? Did
it
you do
me.
That?
Yeah, it was me.
You bleed a lot. You bled a lot that day.
Right.
I'm worried you using a spoon. That was the weird thing.
I know.
It was sharp. That wasn't even a knife.
There was like a little edge on it. Yeah.
No, but for real, Atlas has nailed it. It's safe, but not just like physically safe, but also like, you know, a place where you can share and be yeah. open and honest and be authentic and not be burned for like your ridiculousness, mm. right? And that's part of the safe piece yeah. as well. So it's not just not cutting your hand, Gitch, although I'm really sorry that did happen
hey,
to you. But.
I did have fun though.
And you felt God's love.
Right?
God's
two love. Success.
Two hey, out of three.
That's like how
well,
my
3 out of 3. You were safe and sharing. You cried a lot. So you yeah. obviously
you
felt
opened yourself
safe.
I was safe in the
vulnerability.
Ambulance.
He opened himself physically
and emotionally.
That's right.
Nice.
Well, that's all. That's believe it or not, that's it.
That wasn't so
that
bad.
That was half an hour?
That's in half an hour. It's 31 minutes right now.
Whoa.
Now it's 30 minutes from 2 seconds. Thank you for joining us. Absolute pleasure.
Mm. Thank you to Tim Hortons, our corporate sponsor, who showed up once again.
Nice.
Wow.
Really, Tim really value Hortons. Your contributions.
And I want to thank all those parents who actually do encourage their students to go and get involved in the camp. Because we cannot do camp without them. And you recognize the value in summer camp. And you let your kid to be a part of that. So thanks for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks. Well.
And thanks for being here, Atlas.
Yeah, nice. He's not paid to be here.
No, I'm not. This is
wait, you get
this
paid to be here,
clock.
Luke? What?
Do you get paid to be here?
I don't think so.
Huh.
So you might want to get clarification on that.
So on your timesheet, this is you're just not working right now?
That's right. I'm off the
for
clock.
For the record.
Off the record.
That's awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Catch us next week.